Our speaker tonight is Jan, who will now share her experience, strength, and hope for 20 minutes on fear, the last paragraph on page 67 of the big book. Go ahead, Jan, it's all yours.
Hi, I'm Jan, and I am a recovered alcoholic. I'm going to start the timer just so I know when to stop. Because, you know, I chose to talk about fear. And I'm going to say a prayer before I get started. But, you know, I love to share on things out of the big book, right? And I'm not afraid to. But I'm also... I have to be mindful of the time because I can just get carried away with talking. So God tells me, set the time. I always like to start a share saying the set aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about my recovery, the 12 steps, my brokenness, and especially you, God, for an open mind and a new experience about my recovery, the 12 steps, my relationship with you, God. All right. You know, probably, I want to say maybe 3 months ago, actually it was Christmas Eve, December 24th, I was brought to my knees around a situation that I was in so much fear of. And I literally was on my knees. And then I took a walk and I was talking to God and praying and, you know, just please remove this fear. And I came back and I received an email from two different people that were in my life. It was actually, two of my employers. I retired in November. And, you know, it's that validation that I got that, oh, now I'm okay. And I laugh because it was so fear-based. Because that has been, you know, I mean, besides selfishness and self-centeredness, you know, fear just drove everything in my life. And even after 13 years, of being in recovery. And I'm so blessed, so grateful beyond words that I was introduced to the Big Book Awakening probably 9 months after I came into recovery. And, you know, I am so grateful for that because it changed my life. And the only way I know how to go through the steps is through going through the Big Book Awakening process. And more recently, I've gone through the book through the BBA, but looking at different areas even more deep. And fear's one of them, right? So on page 67, the bottom paragraph, notice that the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Joan, the employer, and the wife. This short word, I love it, right? For me, fear was always future events already ruined. Somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding threat, right? And we write, can I see how fear was an evil and corroding threat? And the fabric of my existence was shot through it, right? And that's the condition I have, you know, with God. It's the fabric of my existence. You know, without that, I don't even know how to do life, right? I used to always say, you know, I'm doing life on life's terms. Then it was, let me correct myself. I live life on Jan's terms. Then it was live life on life's terms. And now it's so evident that it's living life on God's terms, right? So it set in motion trains of circumstances, which brought us misfortune and we felt we didn't deserve. But did not we ourselves set the ball rolling, right? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classified with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. And that's what happened to me on Christmas Eve. And then it made me really look inside of what my relationship with God was at that time. Yeah, I've been married for 47 years, and people ask me, well, how is that, you know? And I answer them by, I've been in so many different relationships in my marriage in 47 years with the same person. And it's been the same with God, of I have a new relationship. I had to really look at step two as my new conscious contact with God in order for me to even look at my fear. Because if I wasn't aware of my current relationship with my with the God idea, I couldn't even see the fear. I could not see it. And when I got to do my fourth step, I mean, first of all, I found the courage to ask for help, and I had asked someone to take me through the steps as outlined in the big book, as we do it in BBA. And when it came to the fear grid, I really had to take a look at that and not just, you know, scan through it, because I know we take our fears from the third and the fourth column, we put them on our fear grid, and we you know, do that extended list, and, you know, self-reliance fails, you know, no God. I saw all that. I saw that in the third and fourth column. But when I really looked at the fear, because it was, you know, becoming so evident in my life. And people were saying, well, you're retiring, you know, you're taking care of your mom who's sick. But it wasn't that. It was more. It was deep, way deep down inside that I had to look at, right? You know, what am I afraid of? You know, one big one that jumped out is, if something's wrong with me, no, if I'm wrong, this is it, if I'm wrong, then something's really wrong with me. And then you're going to leave me. I'm going to be alone, right? But, you know, I had to look at the questions that were in the book. You know, what is my fear? Why do I have the fear? And what really jumped out at me is, what form of self-reliance do I use to experience my fear, right? I mean, there are so many forms of self-reliance in the big book, right? From the beginning, the preface, through, you know, throughout the first 164 pages. And I really got to experience, I really got to look at that and process that. And when I was looking at one particular fear and then looked at self-reliance and the form of self-reliance that was driving that fear, I was like, I remember doing the exercise. I was outside this room, actually, in the backyard, and I'm writing, and it's like, oh my goodness, there was so many forms of self-reliance that I was experiencing. And I could have written down each one of those. And it blew my mind, right? And it was from just being, you know, self-control, self-evident. I mean, there's just so many, self-will, you know, selfish, right? And how could I live my life like that without, the next question was, how did I lack faith in God, which drove me to self-reliance, you know? And I had to look at that. That was huge for me this time around, right? Because, you know, God wasn't a human being standing in front of me that, you know, he's not personal, you know, God is not infinite love. I mean, these lies I was telling myself, because why? Because I couldn't touch it, feel it. And then when I was able to look at all of that and then ask God to remove my fear of whatever it was, and what would you have me be? And that's the gift that I've walked away with in my most recent experience around fear is, God, what do you have me, what do you want me to be? What do you have me be? Not do, but be. And I'm able to just be. My mom passed away a couple of weeks ago. Has it been easy? No. I absolutely am so grateful that I've had this experience around the fear of how my life, how I was in self-reliance and what form of self-reliance around this, around fears, that I had, and I'm going to make this short because it was a powerful experience. So we had to go to the funeral home to make a decision on what we were going to. We had a viewing of my mom. We cremated her, and they asked us to pick out a container. The word itself was like, I don't like, but, and they said, there's a box you can choose is $94, or you can choose this, or you can choose that. And we chose an average price one. We sat down and my sister and I looked at each other and we said, no, I think we want to get the higher one. And we did. And I show up 2 days later, my husband and I and my son walk in and my mom's in the cardboard box. They made a mistake. And initially it was like, oh my God, who's in charge? And the lady came in and she says, oh, we can change it. We can move her. And I went, and the word came to me, God, what do you have me be? What do you have me do? And he said, stop. And I touched her and I said, you know, and I'm such a touchy-feely person. And it was like, let's just stop the conversation. I'll call you tomorrow. And because I had to go and we had an hour, that's all we had because of COVID, to have a eulogy and greet people. And I was able to give the eulogy. And the reason I'm sharing that is because where I immediately went is to fear. I'm disappointed my mom. I'm disappointed my dad who's looking down. My mom's in this box. And I didn't even acknowledge my mom inside this box, container, whatever you want to call it. And that we wanted to have this private viewing. And I was so grateful that I had this experience recently around this fear and looking at it and what form of self-reliance failed me. And in that powerful moment, I was able to ask God, what do you have me be as a result of this? And it was just show up and give the eulogy. And I did. And that was a powerful experience for me. And sure, you know, other conversations took place the next day with the funeral home and it's all God directed on that. But and then I get to see other areas of my life unfolding as a result of doing and looking at this fear, right? Which drives that delusion, that dishonest thinking that if I'm wrong, then something's wrong with me. And then what is my selfish, you know, thinking around that? Well, then I'm going to run. That's my action. But my selfish thinking is I don't need any of you. I'm going to run. Right. But my fear is I don't want to be alone. It's crazy how, you know, for me and we do this. And that is how I live my life. Showing up with different hats because I was so afraid that you would not like me, you would not want me. And this stems from 40 years of being employed by employers. And at the end of the day, after being retired, beautiful send-off, beautiful, honest, you know, amends to them on my behavior, and still in fear on my knees on Christmas Eve. It's like, what is going on? And then I got to really look at that as I shared. And then really, you know, got to do the work in a way that I had never done it in all the past, you know, 13 years of being in recovery, you know, and it's I've just had some, and someone has said, you know, recently to me, it's when we talk about the miracles, but the miracle for me is God. God is the big miracle. And I'm never embarrassed to talk about God in any meeting I go to, because God brought me to AA, or he's brought me to Controlling Chaos. He's brought me to Spending. He's brought me to Food. And from then, that has brought me back to God, right? And I get to look at the things that have, you know, driven me to act out externally because of my internal condition around my fear. I mean, around relationships, you know, and, you know, looking at, you know, my relationship ideal, my sponsorship ideal, you know, that were inspired by women who do this work. You know, a few of them on the meeting here that I love so dearly because they've taught me so much about how direct me in the ways, right? Because I don't put anybody on a pedestal. Believe me, I've done that for years until I came into recovery and even in recovery, because God is, you know, who's on my pedestal, right? Because I have made people my God, my employer, my God, you know, my brother-in-law, my God, until, you know, we humans have failed. I mean, that's, we are, right? But when I could let go of that fear that drives that delusion and then the selfish thinking and the actions, man, my life is so beautiful today, you know? Sure, am I sad? Am I grieving? Yes, you know? But I know that I don't have to live in that fear. You know, has that cropped up? Absolutely, I'm human, right? But I know what to do with that today, right? As long as I don't go back to those forms of self-reliance. And I, you know, do 11-step, you know, when I retire at night, upon awaking, and I answer those questions. I don't ask myself, I answer those questions out loud. You know, how do I have any, you know, behaviors that I have to correct? And it's usually all the time, it's always stemmed around fear, right? You know, if I have a resentment, what's the fear behind it? Because I do, I mean, they crop up. It says not if, it's when will they? And then they show up, right? They showed up at the funeral home. They showed up in my family going through this stuff. And this is not easy. I don't want to call it stuff. I mean, it's, you know, losing the loss of a parent. You know, I was in so much fear, you know, with my mom passing, you know, even the last few days, because I wanted to be in her room at her bed when she took her last breath. And my brother-in-law, who's a physician, was saying, just close the door and go to sleep. You don't need to be there. I know what I need. I don't even know what I need to do. I have to go to God for that. And God directed me, you know, it's okay. You can be in the bed next to her. And I was able to be there. And I wasn't afraid when she took her last breath. Sure, was it sad? Absolutely. But I don't even know what that would have looked like if I hadn't done this fear inventory more recently. So when Carol asked me, you know, if I was able to show up to share, absolutely. It's always an honor and a privilege to be able to share. But then what topic? I knew right away, you know, it took a minute to get back to her, but it was going to be fear. I knew that because that was what brought me back to look at my, you know, new relationship with God. You know, I did a bedevilment exercise when I first had this experience. It's like, oh, yes. Oh, wow. Okay, let me see what else I can do. And I was picking and choosing. Like, no. You need to go back through the steps. You need to go back to step one, the foundation, right? Which then led me to this fear grid. And when I was doing this, I thought my chest was so tight. I thought, am I having a heart attack? It was just like, wow, this is what God wanted me to experience, as painful as it was, and to look at all of that, those areas of self, right? But, you know, I'm so grateful that, you know, I was able to do that. And, you know, now I get to do God's work, you know. I have some things that I had written down, right? We do God's work, but not his will. We don't do God's best, we do our best, right? Anything in my life which keeps me from God and whatever everyone else, you know, that to me is what represents what I call sin. And I'm not going religious here, but it's, you know, I love the book For Sinners Only, and talk about, if you want to have a list of different forms of self-reliance, look at that book. But what I read was everything that I was doing on my own, right? You know, and that was what I've learned from going through this work again, and just at just a little bit deeper. Because when I did the fear inventory this last time, the fear grid, as we do in BBA, I saw it. It was like, and what else do you want me to see, God? And he directed me to look at it a little bit differently, but also through the BBA, right? It directs me through the questions, when we turn these statements into questions, what to look at. And I was so guided this time around, and I'm so grateful. Wednesday, we're actually having a mass and we're burying my mom. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to that, to be able to honor her and to put her in a resting place with my dad. and not afraid, and not afraid at all. So I think I have 20 seconds left. So I think I'm going to end with that because I'm out of thoughts and God's telling me to shut up. So thank you so much, Carol, for letting me show to speak and all everyone else that's here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Jan. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm going to stop the recording here. Let's stop the recording.